new laws surrounding the anonymity of egg and sperm donors have come into effect in Victoria. These laws give more rights to donor-conceived people to find out where they come from. The Wire's Leah Blankendahl spoke to Louise Johnson, CEO of the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority, to find out more.
The state of Victoria has recently become one of the first places in the world to agree to start releasing identifying information for anonymous egg and sperm donors. The law, which came into effect yesterday, will have a major impact on the lives of donor and donor-conceived people.
The idea behind the new law was to address inequality because people conceived after 1998 were able to access identifying information about their donor because the donor consented at the time of donation.
Louise Johnson is the CEO of VARTA.
But those before 1998 until yesterday were only able to access that type of information with the consent of their donor.
Whilst Victoria is one of few states to grant legal access, there are many moves globally to make the donor process more accessible. In the UK, identifying information for donors can be accessed by law for those conceived after 2005, once they turn 18. Prior to this, people who donated did so with the understanding that they would be anonymous. However, the UK's Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority is working with donors prior to 2005 to re-register as identifiable, should they choose.
For some donor-conceived people that haven't been able to access this information, there's been real grief and sorrow in relation to this gap in terms of their history. It also has medical implications as well. And one of the advocates for this legislation, Narelle Gretsch, was a young donor-conceived person who was diagnosed with early-onset bowel cancer. She died, but just before she died, she made a particular appeal to the Premier of Victoria at the time, Ted Baillieu, who gave the Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages at the time permission to make an outreach to her donor in extraordinary circumstances. He consented to have contact with her, and they met in the few weeks leading up to her death. And it was a very positive thing for both parties, but if she'd known that there was some sort of family history, she could have been taking some preventative action.
For many countries, anonymous donation is still legal and commonplace. In the US, most cases of sperm donation come from anonymous donors. In Denmark, anonymous donors are called non-contact donors. As Danish law states, if the donor's blood type and education is known, they are not legally anonymous.
In relation to donors, we know that some donors will welcome this legislation, but we also know that some donors will be fearful. And we also want to provide support to donors who may not have told a soul, including partners and family and friends, that they donated many years ago.
Although donor-conceived people will have the right to access identifiable information for their donors, both sides will still retain the right not to make contact, should they choose.
While donor-conceived people can find out some information, including their name, date of birth and donor code, the donors have control in relation to contact, and they can decide if they want to have contact, and if so, how, or not to have any contact at all. And they could submit a contact preference, which will need to be respected by a donor-conceived person who makes an application under the legislation. And that donor-conceived person will also need to make an undertaking to respect their contact preference.